Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than
last week we started our new sermon series called Thrive, and we talked about the fact that the last few years have been hard on everybody, but particularly on a lot of churches that have not yet recovered from the pandemic. And we talked about the fact that God doesn't want us to be here to merely survive. He wants us to thrive. And so we're going to be spending some time in Romans chapter 12 learning about God's plan for us to be able to thrive. I'd like to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to read our scripture verses today. Last week we did Romans 12:1. Let's do it again, and then we'll do our scripture reading for today. Let's read together. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So that was our message from last week. This week we're going to take verse 2, and it looks like this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're going to break verse 2 down into segments, just like we did last week with verse 1. And so the opening thing that Paul says in verse 2 is, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Now, sometimes when I'm studying a passage of Scripture, I have to keep in mind that originally the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek, and the English that we read is actually a translation of those original languages. Usually we read from the New Living Translation because it reads pretty much like we talk, but I wanted to consider what this verse looks like in some other translations. So look what it says here in the New International Version. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The New Century Version says, do not be shaped by this world. And the J.B. Phillips translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, when I read the J.B. Phillips translation, it made me think of a job I used to have. Back when I was in college in Joplin, Missouri, I had a job in which I worked for a family in the church I was attending, and the company was called Imperial Pottery. And we made reproductions of antique pitchers and bowls, and these things were often sold in gift shops. If you ever were traveling and saw a place called Nickerson Farms, that was a place where a lot of these were sold. It was kind of like Cracker Barrel. It was a restaurant with a store. But these look pretty beautiful, but they didn't start out this way. Now, when you hear that I worked in a pottery shop, you might think you were working with a potter's wheel and forming things with your hand, but that's not how this kind of pottery is formed. This is formed from a liquid clay called slip. The molds were made from plaster, and they were separated into two halves. And these halves were put together, and we had great big rubber bands that held them together. And then the liquid clay that was called slip was poured into the mold, and it was allowed to sit. As it was sitting in there, the water was pulled from the slip, and there was a thickness that was formed against the plaster. Now, this was my job. And one of the keys was you had to keep an eye on it to get the right thickness for the pottery. You didn't want it too thin because it would break, and you didn't want it to be too thick because it was too heavy. And so after it sat in the mold just the right amount of time, I would pick up the molds and pour the slip back into the tank to be used on other pieces of pottery. Well, you had to let it dry, and then you had to remove the rubber bands. And when you removed the rubber bands, you could pull half of it off, and you would have the piece of pottery here. And as you can see, it's hollowed in the middle, but it's just the right thickness. And then these had to be removed from the molds, and they had to dry. But somebody had to shape the first one from which the molds of plaster were made. But then all of the others were made from that exact mold, so they looked identical. And so when I read this passage in the Phillips translation about not being shaped and molded by the ways of the world, it made me think of this. And the thing that was beautiful about these molds was every piece was uniform. They all looked the same. Paul says, don't let the world do that to you. The New International Reader's Version puts it like this: don't live any longer the way the world lives. God's Word translation says, don't become like the people of this world. The Message paraphrase says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So you get the idea here. The world is trying to shape us and conform us and mold us to its ways. And Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, don't do that. Don't let the world do that to you. And one of the things that we need to realize is that the evil one has created an atmosphere in this world which leads people away from God and into sin. And we must become sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere around us and be able to recognize how we are being influenced. To illustrate this, I found this rather interesting cartoon. It's a mama fish telling her aquarium fish, you can't watch cartoons because you're becoming like the people that you're watching. And I'll tell you what, it's easy to laugh off cartoons, but I think a lot of the reason that some of our kids behave in the way they do is they're imitating what they see on those cartoons that very often don't share godly values. Paul says, don't copy the customs and behaviors of this world. Steve and I went to a conference on Thursday and Friday that was put on by Person to Person Ministries. And one of the speakers was talking about the fact that up until about 500 years ago, it was really hard to be an atheist because there was pretty much a universal understanding that we didn't create this. And with all of the design and all of the reinforcement by what was being taught in the homes and in the churches, people understood there was a God who created this, and there was an understanding that we need to follow him. But during the period of Renaissance and Enlightenment, there were a lot of scientific discoveries being made, and people wanted to come up with an alternate explanation for a God who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in it. And from that time, there has been this rush towards what the speaker called secularism, life without God. And he said it happened in three steps. There was a suppression of anything that had to do with God and faith. He said the second thing that happened was there was a suppression of anything that was sacred. And then that ended up in a place where everybody did what they wanted to do that was right in their own eyes. And out of this came several ways of thinking that people follow when they don't want to follow God. One of them is naturalism, the philosophy that says only what we see is real and it makes no allowance for the spiritual realm. Another philosophy is materialism, that the goal in life is the pursuit of accumulating things that make me happy. And boy, do we have a lot of people in our culture that do that. The philosophy of hedonism is that the goal of life is to pursue pleasure. And we talked a lot about that in the Gods at War series, about people who follow the gods of pleasure. We have the philosophy of relativism, where there is no absolute truth. You may have your truth, but I have my truth, and I don't have to agree with you. And all of these things ultimately led to atheism, the idea that there is no God, and therefore I have no responsibility to him. That's the life many people pursue in our culture. But Paul says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't do it. So what are we supposed to do? The next sentence Paul says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, this is another problem with all of the philosophies of the world. They all start with a basic idea that, hey, humans are basically good. And I want to say, did you ever watch the news? You know, it's not true. And the Bible tells us that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one good, not one. And the message of the Bible is that we all need to be redeemed. And part of that redemption process is that we need to let God transform us into new people by changing the way we think. Now, this word transform comes from an interesting word in the Greek, which gives us another English word that we talked about actually in Adult Bible Fellowship when we were talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. What is the root of the word transform? Do you remember? Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a change in the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one. So when you think of this sentence, let God transform you, let Him metamorphosize you, let Him change you into a new person, and the way that happens is by changing the way you think. Now, the most beautiful picture of metamorphosis comes in nature itself. Check this out. This is the picture of transformation or metamorphosis that Paul is talking about. And I want you to think about it. The caterpillar does one thing. It crawls around eating leaves. And I kind of wonder if when caterpillars are chomping on those leaves, if they ever look up and see butterflies. And if they're amazed by what they can do. But I would imagine they're pretty consumed with just feeding. But the idea of transformation is that one day they will be changed into a butterfly that can soar and have so much more freedom. And I think that's kind of the image that Paul wants us to have when he uses this word. Let God do the metamorphosis in your life and change you into a new person where you don't have to just grovel on the ground and follow the pursuits of this world. The hedonism, the materialism, the naturalism, all of that stuff. You don't have to settle for that. God wants to change you into a new person. And when that happens, you're going to be able to soar. And all of the things of this world are no longer going to weigh you down because they don't concern you in that way anymore. God wants to transform us, but He does that by changing the way we think. I think this is so interesting because the whole idea of what's happened in the last 500 years with human rationalism and human reason is we think we're pretty smart, don't we? We think we've figured everything out. But God wants to transform us into new people by changing the way we think. But the atmosphere of this world is very different than that. It's more like this. If somebody has developed a particular habit or a lifestyle choice and they don't want to change, you know what they say? Well, that's just the way I am. I was born that way. And if somebody has a spiritual dimension to them, they might say, well, that's just the way God made me. I can't help it. And so people lie and they steal and they cheat and they do all kinds of things that are wrong. Because, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way God made me. That's conforming to the world. God wants to transform us into new people by changing the way we think. The preacher Max Lucado wrote a book not long ago called Just Like Jesus. And in the book, he states three things that are so true. The first thing that he says in this book is, God loves you just the way you are. And that's true. That's why he sent his son. That even though we all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he sent Jesus to rescue us. I don't know if you were familiar with the song that played during communion, Love Lifted Me, but it starts out, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And some people know that and recognize it, and some people don't. But if you think about when Jesus walked on the earth, he was very loving and accepting to people who were sinners. In fact, the only people that he kind of had a hard attitude with were people who thought they were righteous and they didn't even know they were sinners. So Max says in this book, God loves you just the way you are, and that is so true. But look at this second truth. But he loves you so much that he refuses to leave you that way. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to be just the way you are. And the third truth is that he wants you to be like Jesus. And I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus came in human form. We spent our Christmas sermon series talking about Jesus being fully divine and yet fully human, and how he was miraculously born in order to become the Savior of the world. But I think one of the reasons that Jesus walked and talked and taught and ministered to people in a variety of ways is he wanted them to follow him. He wanted them to become like him. And as I think about some of the accounts written in the Gospels, I think about the way Jesus did offer this transformation to people, this way to become a new person by changing the way you think. I remember in Luke 19, there was a man named Zacchaeus, but he was a tax collector. He kind of turned his back on God. He turned his back on his people. He's working for the Romans, and he's ripping his own people off so he can get wealthy. But he hears Jesus is coming to town, and he wants to see, but there's a big crowd, so he climbs up in this tree. And Jesus stops when he sees him, and he tells Zacchaeus to come down. I'm going to your house. And Zacchaeus welcomes him in, and we're not exactly told what the conversation was when Jesus sat down and ate with Zacchaeus, but we are told the result. After Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus, this greedy, money-mongering man, he gave half of his wealth to the poor. And he must have kept good records because it says if he cheated anybody out of anything, he gave him four times back what he took. But Zacchaeus' life changed when he met Jesus. He was transformed from this greedy man to now a man who was filled with love and generosity and wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus transformed Zacchaeus and made him into a new man by changing the way he was thinking. I think about another encounter that happened with Jesus. This woman was brought by some Jewish religious leaders and thrown before Jesus saying, "This woman was caught in adultery. You know what the law says. What are you going to do about it?" I'm sure Jesus wondered, well, where's the man, right? But he read the people's hearts and he knew what they were trying to do. And we're told that he knelt down and wrote some things in the dirt. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. I heard one preacher speculate that maybe he wrote the names of some of the mistresses of the men that were in the crowd. I don't know. But Jesus got up and he said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And it says, beginning with the older men, they walked away. And then the younger men followed, and pretty soon there was no crowd left. And Jesus reached down to the woman and said, "Woman, where are those who condemn you?" She said, "They're not here." And he said, "Neither do I condemn you." But he didn't leave her like that. He said, "Go and what? Sin no more." He loved her just like she was, but he called her to a different life. Jesus transformed her by changing the way she was thinking. Jesus did this with a lot of people, but I'm also reminded of a man who wasn't sure he really wanted to follow Jesus. The scriptures say he was a rich young ruler. He'd achieved success according to what the world says was important, and he came to Jesus asking, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. And the man says, oh, I was raised with them. I've done them since the days of my youth. And the gospel writer says, Jesus looked at the man and he loved him. But he knew there was still something missing, and he looked at the man and said, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions and give them to the poor. And it says the man's face fell because he had many possessions and he wasn't willing to part with them, and he walked away from Jesus. I think it's really interesting. Jesus didn't follow him and say, wait, come back. I didn't mean it. He let the man walk away. And the same thing happens even today. Many people know what God's word says, but they don't want to live that way. And they walk away from Jesus. So it says here, to let God transform you into a new person. God is a gentleman, if you will. You have to let it happen. He's not going to make you do it. He gives you a choice. He gives you free will. In the book, Change Your Life by Changing Your Mind, Rick Warren writes this, God is far more interested in changing a person's mind than their circumstances. Your feelings don't shape your life, your beliefs do. It doesn't even have to be true. If you believe it, it's going to shape your life. People carry beliefs about themselves throughout their entire lives, things that they were told during their childhood. If a person is hurt or abused or harassed during their formative years, they can often carry those negative thoughts into adulthood, even when those things are not true. So how do I let God transform me into a new person by changing the way I think? What if I want to do it? How do I do it? Well, I'd like to share with you three things today that I think are so important. And here's the first one. I must feed my mind with the truth. Remember what we read from Rick Warren just a moment ago. Some people in their formative childhood years are told things, or they're hurt by people who are supposed to love them, and they carry it into adulthood, even if those things aren't true. So I've got to counter that by feeding my mind the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, responding to a temptation of the devil, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Where do we find truth? We find it in God's word. We must feed on the truth of God's word and understand there is truth outside of what I think or feel. There is absolute truth, and it comes from God. The New Living Translation puts it like this: people need more than bread for life. They must feed on every word that comes from God. So the first thing I need to do is make a commitment to feed my mind on the truth that comes from God, if I'm going to let Him transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. I need to put God's thoughts and God's words and in the principles of His Word into my mind, feeding my mind with those things so it changes the way I think. I think a second thing is I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. There's a whole lot of messages out there that are coming at us in the world. They come through our TV screens. They come through our social media. They come on the news. They come from a lot of different areas. But a lot of these thoughts are destructive. And I've got to free my mind from those things that are bent on destroying me. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who are dominated by their sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what do you want? If you want death, think about sinful things and do sinful things, and that's what you'll get. But if you want life and peace, God's word says, let the Spirit control your mind. How do I do that? By feeding my mind with truth from God's Word, following what it says. So first of all, I've got to feed my mind with truth that comes from God. Then I must free my mind from the destructive thoughts that will take me down the road to destruction. And then the third thing I think is so important is I must focus my mind on the right things. Paul actually talks about that in Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me there. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 948. But Paul has been writing to the Philippians. He's been writing from prison, and yet this is known as the letter of joy. And I want you to see what he says as he's wrapping up his letter in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So he says it again in this passage. If you want to have life, if you want to have peace, peace that exceeds anything we can understand, you got to think about the right things. Paul not only taught that, he lived that. So these three things are so important. If you want to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, you need to feed your mind with truth, truth that comes from God. You must free your mind from the destructive thoughts that are tearing you down and holding you back. And you must focus your mind on the right things. This will not happen by accident. It does not happen overnight. It cannot happen without the Holy Spirit's power in your life. It only happens when you make the personal commitment to let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. It also happens with the godly encouragement of other Christians. That's why he gave us a church family to worship with, to learn with, to serve with. And it happens as we become the people God made us to be. So many people in this world, they're looking for that peace. They're looking for that hope. They're looking for some purpose and fulfillment in life. And so many people are looking for it in all the wrong places. If you might be mathematically inclined, I have a little formula for you here. It looks like this. H2 plus E plus T equals SG. What all those letters mean. Habits of holiness, H squared, plus the encouragement of following Jesus as part of a church family, plus time equals spiritual growth. So if you want to grow, if you want to thrive, what are you doing about it? You got to put yourself in a place where you can allow God to transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In Colossians 3, 15 to 17, the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church. Let the peace that Christ gives control your what? Thinking. Because you were all called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus. So, Paul says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think in the last sentence of Romans 12:2. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I can't tell you how many times, especially in my youth ministry days, as I was working with high school students who were getting ready to graduate and launch their lives, and they were trying to make decisions about, do I go to work or do I go to college? If they were in a relationship, do I stay with this person and maybe get married? And a lot of young people were always wanting to know, man, if I could only know God's will for my life, then I'd be okay. And Paul says the key to knowing God's will is to not be conformed by the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, God planted us right here in this western edge of Brown County, and we are here as His body. And it's His will for us not just to merely survive, but He wants us to thrive. He wants us to follow this teaching. Last week we learned that we are to give our bodies to God as sacrifices, living sacrifices and holy sacrifices, the kind He will find acceptable. And He said, that is truly the way to worship Him. And He goes on telling us today, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be molded by them. Don't conform your life to the ways of what the world says is good. But let God transform you into this new person so that you'll know what His will is. And that's what we want to do right here in our community. We want to be the church that does more than just survive. We want to thrive, and we want to take this message to people who need to know Jesus. So my challenge for you today is this. Pray to the Lord, asking Him to transform you into that new person by changing the way you think. You know, that takes a whole lot of humility, doesn't it? We spend our lives getting educated and learning how to do things so we can do things ourselves. But it takes humility to stand before God and ask Him to make me into the person that He wants to be. But it's not the first time in Scripture we were told that. In fact, the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, what a powerful message today from the Apostle Paul. The pull of this world is so strong for so many of us. We are saturated in a culture that exalts self. It exalts pleasure and materialism, greed. And these are not your ways, and it's not the way you want your people to live. So I ask you, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, to help us follow these words of Paul, not to be conformed to the behaviors of this world. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to put all of our trust in you, leaning not on our own understanding, but to pursue your word and your will and your ways so that we can have peace, so that we can then be confident in knowing and living out your will in our lives. Father, thank you for planting us here in this community. Thank you for the opportunities you give us, not just to survive, but thrive. And help us, Lord, as we learn these things, as we grow in these things, to be your ambassadors and share these things with other people, ones that are blinded by the ways of this world, constantly searching for fulfillment and never quite finding it, because you are the source. You're the source of life. You're the source of peace. You're the source of joy that does bring us fulfillment, not only in this life, but in the next as well. Lord, help us to thrive in this place you've planted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?
Just to know.